Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back, PM team, and we go out to the hotline right now to welcome in former MLB pitcher, of course, the pride of Butler. He is Matt Clement, our MLB analyst. We've heard now from Pirates president Travis Williams, from general manager Ben Cherington. Cherington going nowhere. Bob Nutting released a statement through the team. Everybody involved there in the front office, Matt, offering their post-mortem and kind of their autopsy and then plans moving forward for the Pirates. So just before we hear from some of these guys, your initial thoughts about the way the season ended and the fact that the Pirates are charting a course that involves Ben Cherington still staying as general manager next year.
Well, I would say that the season ended. It's hard to say the season ended on a positive. It was a season that was expected to be better. I think the positive is you have all this wealth of young pitching and you have an obvious chip in Mitch Keller to trade. You have some potential in this hitting group. So did it end on a positive? I don't really know if it ended on a positive. I think in the division they're in, with the pitching they have, you could see a solid future. And I think the Cherington, I feel like we talk about this every couple of weeks, and my take on Cherington is like, until he's allowed to, what is he allowed to do? Nobody knows what he's allowed to do. So he's going to be criticized for what he does or doesn't do, but we don't know if he's allowed to. And I feel like, the one thing he has got right is the draft. So there is the draft has been very good to the Pirates.
Well, recently, because he did draft Henry Davis, if we're being fair here.
True. But like you're 2 or 3 years getting a top prospect in baseball. And if we're going to be fair about the Henry Davis, we've got to be fair about he could have took Dylan Cruz too, and it would be awful.
Sure.
So, so in that situation, like he has got some stuff right, but I fairly to him, like what is he allowed to do? And it's unfair that the Pirates don't basically say, hey, we wouldn't let them, they aren't going to take the ownership's not going to take the blame for this. It's all going to fall on the Cherington.
All right, well, let's hear right now, Matt. I'll play this one for you. We got a couple of different clips I wanted to go over with you. Here's team president Travis Williams, his answer to a question here. You'll hear the question, but basically it's, why is Ben Cherington right to continue on as GM? Here we have Travis Williams.
What gives you the faith that Ben is the right general manager to make this team better in 2026?
Our belief and expectation is that this team is a lot closer than our performance and our records would suggest. Our goal is to win in 2026 and make the playoffs. Period, full stop. We know that with that in mind, we know that we need to build on the momentum that we've already built, that we already have, and moving forward. We have the best young pitching staff in all of baseball. We've got a great core of young position players. In addition to that, we have one of the best farm systems in baseball and the top prospect in baseball.
All right, your thoughts on the really substance of that. Two things I wanted to go over with you specifically there, Matt. Williams saying that they're going to build on the momentum, if you believe that there is momentum, and then talking about a young core of hitters that, as far as I looked all over the place, I got out a fine-tooth comb and a magnifying glass, and other than Connor Griffin coming up, I don't exactly see any young hitters on the horizon that are already on this team.
Well, and to finish kind of to tie together the last conversation we had in this, like, Cherington comes back, because that was in this quote too, you're bringing Donnie Kelly back, who deserves to come back.
And got himself a nice extension that I think was there almost like an olive branch to fans. Hey, you seem to like this guy. Now he gets an extension. The guy you don't like is also coming back, by the way.
Well, and it really, to me, some people would disagree that are just disgruntled Pirate fans, that like a new GM's coming in, he wants his own coach. So you make the decision on Donnie, it's hard. That's where I think some of the Charrington decision comes from, in my opinion. I agree with you on the hitters. Like the hitting is not, it's not produced. You do have Connor Griffin, so it makes, he's a nice shine over everything else. It'd be like having no pitchers in your system, but saying, hey, we have Paul Skenes. So like we're pretty loaded up. So I can't disagree with you on that front. But I do think there's a nice young core overall, but that young core is 80% pitching. Now, you know, you watched the postseason yesterday, though, right? Every game except for the Dodgers game was one with pitching. And great hitters that have hit 50 home runs and everything else were neutralized yesterday, and the scores were 3-1. And, you know,
well, technically the Dodgers game was one with pitching by a pitcher who hit two home runs, who happens to also DH and is probably the greatest baseball player at least since Barry Bonds, if not ever. But I get your point.
Right, and I think that, like, okay, so that is the hope. That is the hope of this young core, the what they have, what they're dealing with. But, you know, everybody's like, I even down-talked the division, but here's the problem. St. Louis isn't going to be happy being bad. They're going to do something. Chicago is in a really good position to get a couple pitchers and maybe be the best team in the National League. Milwaukee, it doesn't seem to matter who they have, and they're really good. And the Reds did what the Pirates were hoping to do this year. So this division all of a sudden doesn't stink. So that's the kind of the hurdle in this young core. But you know, there's avenues, there's paths that the Pirates are in the Reds' position or even above next year.
Travis Williams, also the team president, also pretty much guaranteed that they'd be better next year. Not really much to say about that. You either disagree or agree. But this is what Ben Charrington, who kept his job, who's going to stay on, who is going to be tasked with trying to figure out a way to get this team over the hump after they went five games backwards from 2024 to 2025. This is what he had to say about player acquisition and trying to make, I think really specifically this offense, which is everybody's question, Matt, better in 2025. Here's what the still general manager of the Pirates said about all that.
We got to be ready to be aggressive in acquisition this offseason, whether it's free agency or trade. In our situation, we've got to be willing to assume the risk of trades because free agency is not an open ocean for us. We're going to be able to be targeted there, and we will be. We'll try to be. We'll be put ourselves in a position to do that the best we possibly can. But if we want to give ourselves every chance, it's got to be the trade market also. And we got to be prepared to chase down every single thing that we think has a chance to help this team win more games in 26.
I just took that to mean do not expect, I don't know about you, Matt, I'll let you give your own opinion there, but I took that to mean don't expect Bo Bichette or somebody like that to walk through this door to this franchise on a significant free agent contract.
Yeah, no Suarez either. So, you know, I guess my thoughts on this, like Ben Charrington's off season, unless he gets lucky with a reclamation project or an older guy that comes in and has a career year, whatever case, is going to come down to what this Keller trade is. And I think that's why he didn't make the Keller trade at the deadline, because nothing seemed right to him. Because this is what's going to, that's the biggest chip you have. And maybe taking some chances, when he says taking some chances, maybe taking some chances is, do we deal a Bubba Chandler? Or do we deal, you know, a Jared Jones or some of these Barco, some of these bigger pitching prospects that we have a glutton of right now, for one of the only teams in baseball that do. But like, they aren't, the challenge he has is, I think the best players to come help this lineup are going to come from this Keller trade. And I think the Keller trade is inevitable, not because I don't think Keller's good. It'd be great to have him head this rotation with Skenes and have the two veteran guys there. It would be a luxury to do that. I just feel like contract wise, where they are wise, he's the trade they got to make. He has a big value attached to him, and it's just like they can't mess this one up, because if they mess this up, no matter who they get in free agency, it's probably not going to be enough.
Here's the last one I got for you, Matt, and then I have one other thing we need to get to, because there were some terminations or some at least guys who will not be returning to the coaching staff that I wanted to get your two cents on. But this is the last thing from Ben Charrington when he met with the media specifically talking about taking some risks. Here's what he had to say there.
In Pittsburgh, we need to be making bets on guys who are not proven. We may be able to make some bets on guys that are proven, and we'll pursue that too, but some of the targets have to be guys who are unproven. I believe we're getting more clear all the time on what the combination of traits are that we should be making the best bet on. So in terms of acquisition.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's what I would say.
All right, here's my two cents there. I wanted to bounce this off of you. This one is not a situation where I say, well, he's hamstrung by finances, so what do you expect? Other GMs do a better job of getting some of these riskier players and actually having rolling those dice and having them, you know, come up with a good number, so to speak. And I guess I would just say, Matt, why would a Pirates fan think that if Ben Cherington's the one still making bets on unproven players that those bets are going to pay off, given what we've seen largely thus far in his tenure?
Well, I mean, your statement, it's hard to argue with your statement. And I guess and it goes, that's where it goes.
Is that
back
him
to.
Or is that his scouting department? Like, what? Who really bears the blame is maybe the more pertinent question there for the fact that they haven't found diamonds in the rough with the kind of regularity that like a Brewers or another sort of more competitive, consistent, small market team has done?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, like, you know, it's a combination of everything, but it's who you're giving up too. Like, the Pirates haven't given up, you know, when they're talking diamonds in the rough, I'm not thinking of like player to be named later, hitting a jackpot on something like that. I'm thinking about, like, the Bednar trade, but how many Bednar trades have there been where they've gotten, you know, a guy that's a top 10 prospect in the organization and different things like that? You know, they have to be able – you aren't given – when you aren't making a lot of those trades, I think some of these other organizations, they have this formula. Tampa, like, you know, I'll use Tampa, for example. They get the player good. He's about to get paid. He's about to get paid. We trade him away. We get three prospects. But they're doing that so often that they're going to hit. You know, when the Pirates – The people they're giving away are much, you know, you're not going to get as much back, so it's harder to hit the jackpot on that.
I'll switch to from what guys were saying to what actually happened. Oscar Marin, you would think the guy who presided over a very good pitching staff this year that was better than solid, upper echelon across the board, would keep his job. He did not. Assistant pitching coach Brent Strom, a guy I know people have credited with some of the development of pitchers not named Paul Skeens, also gone. Mike Rabello, also gone. As of me and you speaking, however, right now, Matt Haig, the man who oversaw the worst Pirates offense quite literally this century, still in the wind here. We don't know what's going to happen. So what do you make of the architects, in many ways, of this good pitching staff being let go, Matt?
Well, let's start with Haig. I think, you know, if you fired Haynes last year and then you fire Haig for the same reason, it's kind of a redundant move that you're making. So, I mean, again, do I agree or disagree? That doesn't matter. I'm looking at it as why. You know, why this goes down. Like, did he really have his chance to do this? Whatever the case may be, we're going to give him another go at it. Maybe that's the reason behind that. As far as the pitching staff goes, like you know, as somebody that has a history with Brett Strom, you know, as he was a minor league coordinator of mine way back when. And I don't think people realize, like, what he did in Houston and what he did in Arizona kind of gets kind of forgotten about on their big runs and developing pitchers. And, like, his fingerprints, in my opinion, are all over why this staff was so good this year. And it came down to him, like, I don't know the exact terminology. It looked like he resigned, rather than they let him go. And that's for somebody else to answer, not me. But, you know, I think Brent Strom, like, there's a chance he retires, probably, because that's in the rumors. There's a chance he's the pitching coach for somebody else next year. And I don't know, you know, what's the thought process? And he's an old man, you know, so you might not want to anchor this whole staff to that or whatever the case may be. But to me, if I'm outside looking in, I think he's probably one of the bigger reasons this staff did so well, and maybe he's ready to call it quits. So that's where he went. And you know, I don't know the insides or outs. I just know Brent Strom, and I know what he's done the last 15 years, we'll say, of his career have been very, very successful. And I think he'll be wanted if he decides he wants to continue to coach.
Matt Clement, our MLB analyst, former pitcher, of course, in the pride of Butler. Always a pleasure to talk with you, Matt. Thank you.
Can I ask you one question before we go?
You are allowed.
Okay. As a pirate person, a pirate media personality, do you, as you watch the postseason and these other teams, are you for or against the small market teams? For them because it's a good story and it gives the Pirates hope, or against them because, you know, it makes the Pirates look worse in their situation?
So wait, for them because you like the story, or like, oh, am I? Here's I guess the best way I can answer that. Man, yep. You got me with a good question too. Don't ask too many of those good questions. They're just going to replace me with you here. All right. I do this. My gut tells me the story is always what I root for. It's very hard not to root for David against Goliath, broadly speaking, like the Reds over the Dodgers. But Then I say, as a fan, what team is doing more for their fans? The one that spends as much money as they possibly can, basically, or the one that probably could spend more in almost every one of these cases? In fact, definitely could if they wanted to. The Reds, I'm not just limiting us to the Pirates, the Guardians, the Reds, every one of them. Who do I really want to root for? The principal, the brain part of me says, I'm rooting for the bigger market teams. Like, I you know what? You know who I root for more than anybody? San Diego. They have, in a smaller market, just said, screw it, we are going to keep spending money and trying to make this work, and that is what resonates with me more than any small market team story.
Yeah, and I think I worded it wrong. More so, like, if the small market teams have success, then MLB maybe doesn't make an adjustment.
That's more what I, yeah, that's how I took it, because that's why I always root for the big market teams, because every time a small market team does something like the Royals in 2015, I just say, well, that justifies everything Rob Manfred says about keeping the status quo.
Awesome. I was interested to hear your opinion.
Matt, always a pleasure, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.